Hello, I'm pleased to host Andre Salas from the Fermilab Office of Communication. Andre, thank you for visiting with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I think many of our viewers might know something about Fermilab, but can you tell us, for those that don't know, what is Fermilab?
Certainly. Fermilab is a particle physics laboratory, and what that means is we build really big things to look for really small things.
Uh-huh.
We're looking for the smallest building blocks of matter to figure out how the universe works. And as not necessarily a rule, but you know, the smaller the thing you want to find, the bigger the thing you got to build to find it. So that's the science that we do, very large machines to find very small particles.
Now, I know that for a long time, Fermilab was noted for having the Tevatron, which is that big circle that you can see from the airplanes.
Exactly.
Now, when the Tevatron was shut down, I think some people thought that Fermilab was going to go away.
Yes.
So can you tell us what are the plans for the future of Fermilab now, and the present, too?
Sure. So the Tevatron was superseded by a machine called the Large Hadron Collider, and that's at CERN in Switzerland. And that is basically the same type of machine that Fermilab had, only four times larger and much more powerful. So a lot of our people actually work on that machine. We work very closely with CERN on that. That is where that realm of physics is now. It's over in Switzerland. We are not necessarily changing gears, but we've decided to start probing some of the rarest interactions that we can find, science that can't be done the way we can do it anywhere else. So we're focusing on particles called neutrinos and muons, you know, things that will open up new avenues of discovery for us. So the biggest future project that we have coming up that you'll hopefully be hearing a lot about if I do my job correctly is called the Long Baseline Neutrino Facility and also the Deep Underground Neutrino Experiment.
Deep Underground.
So this is a proposed project at the moment, but we would build a beamline on our site that would send these small particles through the Earth. We don't need a tunnel because they go through everything without needing any sort of throughway. And we would send those 800 miles to South Dakota, where we will place gigantic detectors in the bottom of an old gold mine. And so that will be an experiment to study what happens to these neutrinos over these long distances, which is a question that we think could have really interesting ramifications for our understanding of the universe. So that's sort of the big one that's coming up. We have several other projects in the works, a lot of them neutrino related.
So now as these neutrinos go through things, you say they go through things and they're going through the ground. Do they cause any damage?
Is
there something we should be afraid of?
There are millions of them going through you right now, and they have been
great
for your entire life, and you haven't noticed.
So far, so good, then,
yeah,
right?
They're generated by the sun. They're generated by the Earth's core. They're generated by bananas. Potassium decay creates neutrinos.
Yes. There goes my banana.
So they are absolutely everywhere, and they cause no damage whatsoever.
So tell us, why is this kind of research important? Why are you doing this?
That's actually an excellent question that I get a lot about basic research, why it's important to keep funding it. And there are a couple of different reasons. One is the more we know about the universe, the greater our understanding of things and the greater the possibility we might be able to use that knowledge. Another important aspect of what we do is that as we go forward trying to answer these big important questions about the universe, we also have to push all of these different areas forward as well. So computing technology and magnet technology and things like that. And those are the things that end up going on to improve the world. Those are the things that, you know, like if you've ever had a PET scan, that's a proton accelerator. That was developed off the technology that was created for particle physics.
So not only do we get the long-term benefits, we also get some very immediate useful things that we all use every day along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's generally the argument for funding basic research, is that a lot of the most important discoveries that have improved the world have come about by accident from general science funding. The electron was discovered completely by accident, for example.
And they're very useful.
They're pretty useful, yeah.
We're using a lot of those.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know that there's some misconceptions floating around out there about Fermilab. Can you give us a couple of them? and reassure us that those are misconceptions and not the truth?
Certainly, yeah. So, I mean, there is a misconception that Fermilab is top secret and that there's you can't come and see some of the things that we do, and that's absolutely not true. I mean, the site is open to the public every day, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the summer months, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the winter months, and we do public tours every Wednesday, and we don't do any top secret testing or weapons testing or anything like that there that you wouldn't be able to come see and understand. There's no danger to people coming to visit, you know, and there's no danger to our employees either. Mm-hmm. I mean, the radiation levels that we have are pretty low and they're maintained pretty well. There are people that have been working there for years and have one of those dosimeters that collects, you know, mm-hmm.
Radiology techs
yeah,
use.
Right. And nowhere near any level that would be harmful, even 30 years of working there. So it's all very well maintained. The other misconception that I love, that I hear a lot, is that we have a herd of bison.
Oh, they're
there.
Wonderful bison.
Yeah, we have a herd of about 28 bison, and some people think that the bison are there as canaries in the coal mine for us. Like, if the bison topple, then we know to get out of Dodge because something horrible is happening. There's two reasons that that's false. One is that we don't do anything that would cause that, and the second is that bison are much bigger than we are. So, if anything, we're
the canaries. You're the canary. No problem, Andre. You're the canary. The bison are perfectly safe.
Indeed.
Now, how is Fermilab funded?
Fermilab is a U.S. Department of Energy laboratory. It's funded through the Office of Science. So we are almost entirely federally funded. Some of our projects get additional money from research grants and from the National Science Foundation.
Hey. And real briefly, what kind of programs do you have for the community?
Oh, so many. So the most basic one I mentioned already, which is the public tours. Every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m., we do a public tour that's free. Anyone who wants to come and just join the tour can, and that gives you the basic overview of what Fermilab is. But we have a very strong education department, and they're in most of the schools in our area, and they do classroom stuff, but they also bring students to Fermilab for field trips and things like that. We have a Saturday morning physics program for high school students. We do an open house every year for families. We run a teacher resource center, and we have what's called the Letterman Science Center, named mm-hmm. after our second director, Leon Letterman, which is basically a hands-on science museum for families. The thing that I would actually really suggest is if you go to our website, which is fnal.gov, you can sign up for our community newsletter, which is called Science Next Door, and that has a complete calendar listing of everything that the public can come to during that month.
So. And people can come when they are interested in it, come to the large building that looks like this.
Yep.
And which is the Wilson Hall.
Wilson Hall, yes.
And there are maps in there, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
So people can actually come when the facility is open.
Yep.
And learn on their own, as well as waiting for some of these special events.
That's absolutely true. Yep.
Right. Well, no, Andre, thank you so much for being with us. And you want to repeat once more how people can learn more about Fermilab and get connected?
Sure. So our website is www.fnal.gov, and that should have the information that you need.
Good. Well, thank you very much for letting us know all this really useful and interesting information and what Fermilab can offer to us. Thank you.
Thank you.